break the chasm that lay between us. I had a mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. And through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Oh, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory. Oh, hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Oh, hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Folks, these partnerships that we have with Canada, Brother Bo, come on. Bo Neo is from Southwinds. These partnerships that we have in Haiti, they're powerful because they're ongoing, and we keep going. We keep going. And so, Bo, come and share with us now. We're looking forward to it.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Scott. I am always, always, always pleased to be here with you and honored to share with you. I know Pastor Leon and I don't take it for granted. We just want to say thank you. From Southwinds Church, from the Community Life Network, we want to say thank you for your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I just think, Ed, I thank you for reading that scripture passage today, because that is one of our favorite passages. And we say thank you for 10 years, a decade of partnership between Boyd Avenue Baptist Church and Southwinds Church. And so you guys have sent, you have given, you have prayed for a decade. And we want to say thank you. And I wanted to, this morning, share with you a little bit about who we are and some things, some stories about what God is doing presently in Calgary, in the Community Life Network. And if you're not familiar with the Community Life Network, well, 12 years ago, Trinity Baptist Church stepped out in faith and planted what is today Southwinds Church. But they didn't step out in faith to plant one church. They stepped out in faith to join God in a network that would be a church planting network, that would join together to combine resources, to combine people, that would, once we get one planted, then we combine those resources to plant other churches. And so in 12 years, God has planted the Junction Church. He's planted Southwinds Church. He's planted the Junction Church. He's planted Multiply Church. And we pray that we are a year away from launching a church in a new community called Legacy. And we exist as a network of churches to connect Christ and community. That is, that we want to lead and plant churches that are engaged with community. We want to be where the people are so that we can have gospel conversations with people. And it goes through various means, right? You have sent people faithfully to be a part of soccer camps and block parties and t-ball camps and basketball camps. You guys have been so faithful to send people. And sometimes we ask, so what? Okay, they went and did a soccer camp. They went and did a t-ball camp. They went and did a basketball camp. That's great. What does it mean? What happens? Well, that's the reason why I want to share with you a few stories. Because, you know, when we can put names with events, man, it helps us see that God really is at work. Right? So I want to tell you about Bailey and Jackson. Bailey and Jackson are two brothers that have had very little stability in their lives. Just life events for their parents have been hard. And Bailey and Jackson, not long ago, moved in with their dad and their grandparents, and they are neighbors to some of our church members at Southwinds, to Rachel and Emil. And Bailey and Jackson, you know, it's funny, their grandfather was counting down the days. He actually had a timer on his phone that from 1,000 days out from retirement counted down to the day that he was able to retire. And guess who, almost coinciding to the day, moved in when Grandpa retired? His grandsons. Guess who gets to look after those rambunctious grandsons every day of the week? Grandpa does. And he loves it. He wouldn't trade it. And sometimes, you know, Grandpa might need a little bit of a break. Okay? Some of you in your heart said amen right there. I am confident you did. And you know what? They have neighbors that pray for these boys because they see what God could do in them and for them. And so they pray for them. These boys come play with Rachel and Emil's boys, and Rachel and Emil's boys go over and play with them. They have a great relationship. And they have just prayed, Lord, we know they need you. So God, we pray that you would draw them to yourself. Use us to share with them. Use our church. And so Rachel invited Bailey and Jackson to come be a part of camps. And so the team that you sent this summer, part of them went and did a basketball camp for Abundant Life Chinese Baptist Church. And they had, I think it was 40 students in camp, somewhere around 40 students that were in basketball camp. And the other half that you sent, they helped us with a t-ball camp that had 56 3- to 6-year-olds. So if you didn't pray for them then, pray for them now, okay? 56 3- to 6-year-olds with bats. They were highly organized. Your team did an amazing job as always. But Bailey and Jackson came. Jackson was a camper and Bailey was just hanging out. And when Bailey, and then your people, representatives from Boyd Avenue Baptist Church, they would invite, now Bailey was technically too old for this camp, but they would invite him in to run the bases with his brother's team and just be a part of things. And Bailey experienced the love of Jesus along with his brother. Boyd Avenue Baptist Church, you faithfully shared the gospel with all 56 of these young children. And you helped with Southwinds Church make available Jesus Storybook Bibles to any child that wanted one. They could take home a Jesus Storybook Bible. It's a children's Bible that tells the narrative of the gospel, the narrative of God's creation, fall, and redemption throughout Old and New Testaments with some really neat illustrations. And it ties Jesus into every story in that Bible. It's a great way to share the gospel. We gave away Bibles to every camper that wanted one. Well, let me fast forward a bit. They had a great time at T-ball camp. And then they came to kids camp, which is our version of vacation Bible school. And they got to encounter the gospel and God's people again at kids camp. And then Grandpa got them enrolled in soccer camp that we ran a couple weeks after that. I'm telling you, Grandpa was loving camps. Okay? But Grandpa got him enrolled in soccer camp and Legacy in the community that we hope to plant next. And remember, Bailey and Jackson had taken home the Jesus Storybook Bibles. Well, on Thursday of camp that week, one of our volunteers was reading the devotional to these children. And they were reading the story of Moses leading God's people out of Egypt and across the Red Sea. You remember that story? You familiar with that story? Well, I'm going to tell you, Bailey was familiar too, because Bailey began to complete the story for the person leading that devotional. And we had told the people that week a little bit about Bailey and Jackson's story and just, guys, we really need to pray for these boys. And so when Bailey finished the story, all the volunteers said, Bailey, that's great. And Bailey didn't miss a beat. He said, what? I own a Bible. You know, like, I can read. And you know, we held a big block party in Legacy that Friday, the next day. We had 500 or 600 people come out to this block party. It was a wonderful success. We received cards from over 100 people expressing interest in the church that would be planted in Legacy that day. But I got to have a conversation with Dwayne, who's Bailey's grandfather. And he was beaming, first of all, because he got to go play golf that day. And I'm like, well, I'm excited for you. I didn't go play golf today, you know? But he got to go play golf that day. And he was talking. He had spiritual questions for me, questions about who God is, questions about Jesus, questions about the difference between us and Catholics. Now, we don't talk about Catholics because we can't answer for them, but we can talk about who Jesus is, can't we? And so we talked about Jesus and what he's done for us, what God has done through him. And then he said, you know, Bailey and Jackson, they have not wanted to read anything else at night except for that story, that Jesus storybook Bible that you guys gave them. So every night, Bailey and Jackson are getting their grandfather to read God's truth to them. So I want to ask you to continue to pray for Bailey and Jackson. Pray for Dwayne and Anita. Pray for Rachel and Emil as they minister to them as their neighbors. I want to tell you about Sage. Now, I want to give you a little bit of background. We've had historically a lot of young children at Southwinds, and then some of these children have grown into teenagers. They've grown into young adults. And so one of those young adults, her name is Caitlin Armstrong. Okay, well, she's not a young adult yet, but she's a teenager. And she's been here several times to serve with us here in Casper and in Midwest. She's not able to be here this week, but her grandfather sure is. Earl is here, part of our team. And Bailey has a friend named Sage, and Sage has been going through a hard time, and Bailey and her family have been praying for Sage, and they've been asking God to use them in Sage's life. And God gave them the opportunity to stand in the gap, step in the gap for Sage in a very incredible way, really, to provide a safe place for Sage. And they've been asking God, and they've been sharing about God, about his son Jesus. Well, last year, Kinsey, our Minister of Youth and Community Connections, she took one student from Southwinds Church to SYC, which is Summer Youth Celebration. And all you need to know is that that is our version of Summit Camp, okay? So you get what that is, right? That's our version of Summit Camp. She took one student, which was worth it. That student had an amazing, amazing week last year. And so Kinsey began to pray, God, could we take 3 to 5 students next year? Could we take 3 to 5? Would they be Christians, non-Christians? We just want to take students to encounter God at SYC. Well, do you know how many students from Southwinds Church went to SYC this year? 10. 10 students. Isn't that amazing? That's what God does. And also, we said, okay, Kinsey, we expect tenfold every year. So next year, 100 students from Southwinds Church need to go to SYC. No, obviously that's not what we said. But Sage was one of those students that went to SYC. And she had a real encounter with a real God who sent his son to save her. And she gave her life to Jesus Christ at SYC. I want to tell you about Tiana. All right, so we do block parties and those kind of things. We also do miniature block parties, and we call them Kids Fun Days, where we hope that 50 to 100 people come out so we can meet them, share with them, enter into gospel conversations with these people. Tiana, I knew from years back, she was an old neighbor of ours. And Tiana showed up, and we got into conversation, and she just immediately began to share and ask questions about what we were doing, why we were doing it again. And she said, well, Bo, you know, I don't believe in God. And she proceeded to tell me why she could never believe in God. She just couldn't. If there's all this evil in the world, and she had a very hard childhood herself, she said, if this could happen to me and this happens to other children all around the world, and you say there is a loving God, How could he let this happen? If he really loved, how could he let it happen? And she said, I see your religion as the God that you talk about being a puppet master and having these people who he controls with the puppet strings. And then there's evil, which I think there is evil in the world, but whoever you say this evil controller is, that he's got these people on a puppet strings and he's controlling them and they're just having a good old time. And I said, Tiana, I respect where you're coming from. I really do. However, I couldn't disagree with you more. Because when we love each other, we share it with each other, right? So, Tiana, actually, I do believe that God is love. He tells us in his word, 1 John 1:8, that he is love. That's who he is. And that a loving God doesn't make us love him. A loving God creates us, provides the only way to have a relationship with him, and then offers that relationship to us. And when we choose him, when we say, I do need you, I need you to forgive my sin, and I want to be with you, God. I want to be your son or daughter. That when we choose him, then God makes himself, all of himself, available to us. You with me on that? He makes all of himself available to us. So we're in the community. You guys are in your community. You guys are in Haiti. You guys are in Calgary. You guys are everywhere. But we are in the community so that we can share the good news of Jesus. Let me share with you from John chapter 4. John chapter 4 says this. Let me set some background. Jesus has come up. He's had a long day's travel. He's come up to a well where there is water, and there is a woman collecting water from this well. It's the heat of the day. And most ladies would go to the well at a time of day that was not so hot. They wouldn't go in the heat of the day. So he's coming into a community, and he encounters a person, a member of this community, but she is a member in tenuous standing, to say the least. She doesn't want to encounter anybody. That's why she's there in the heat of the day. And Jesus approaches her and asks her for a drink, which was unorthodox because Jewish rabbis or teachers, they didn't prolong conversation with Jewish women, let alone a woman from somewhere else that the Jews considered unclean and not right. And so Jesus encountered her, and Jesus approached her, and he began to ask her questions. And he asked her questions about her life that he couldn't have known. And if you remember the story, he drew out of her the fact that, yes, she didn't have a husband. He asked her about her family, but she had 5 husbands, and the one she was with now was not her husband. She was living with him. And she says, wow, you really must be a prophet. You see, Jesus was trying to remind her of her many disappointments and personal relationships in order that she may appreciate all the more the deep and lasting satisfaction that only Jesus can bring. And he says, I can give you water that will satisfy you completely. And she said, she couldn't get it. She thought, oh, so please give me this water so I don't have to come face the humiliation of coming to this well ever again and having people whisper about me all the time. And Jesus said, you don't understand. And so she called him a prophet, and she tried to change the subject. And she said, oh, you know, your people say we should worship over here, and our people say we should worship over there. What happened was there were 2 different thoughts with the Samaritans, or the people of the Samaritans and the Jews. And when they conversed about religion, they talked about what was the place which the God of Israel had chosen out of all of his people's tribes to cause his name to dwell there. Where must his people gather to worship him? The Jews located in Jerusalem, the Samaritans on this mountain, they were at the foot of the mountain that she referenced, called Gerizim, overlooking Shechem, to which they could look up as they talked by the well. The important question is not where people worship, Jesus helped her with, but how they worship. Jesus said, you know, I know you're trying to distract me, to get me into this conversation about where you say here, we say there. He said, but you need to know that one day people are going to worship in spirit and truth. That this is how you worship the one true living God. And she said, you know, I've known that there was a Messiah coming. And Jesus said, I am that Messiah. And so this woman things have changed for her. She's been transformed because of this encounter with Jesus. Because remember, she went to the wells because nobody else was there. She didn't want to encounter anybody. what happens after this encounter with Jesus for this woman? What does she leave Jesus to go and do? Anybody remember? She left to go and tell. She went back to town to say, I got to find everybody to let them know that this is the Messiah. Jesus really is the one that's come to save us. She's changed. Jesus' disciples come back at this point. They had gone to find food. They try to get Jesus to eat. He said, I have food to eat you don't know about. My food is to do the will of God who sent me and to finish his work. Let's pick up in verse 35. John chapter 4, verse 35. Don't you say there are still four more months, then comes the harvest. Listen to what I'm telling you. Open your eyes and look at the fields, for they are ready for harvest. The reaper is already receiving pay and gathering fruit for eternal life. So the sower and reaper can rejoice together, for in this case the saying is true. One sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap what you didn't labor for. Others have labored, and you have benefited from their labor. You see, Jesus is helping the Samaritan woman understand the kingdom of God and what God has done for her. Jesus is trying to help his disciples understand what their role is in all of this. You see, Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me, to finish his work. He says, you are called to sow seeds, to join God in his harvest, to be a worker in his field. Now, Boyd Avenue Baptist Church, you know what I'm talking about because you guys sow seeds. We said it before. You go to Haiti to sow seeds. You go to Calgary to sow seeds. You go to your neighbors, your coworkers to sow seeds right here in Casper. You guys sponsor people like Chris Sims to go plant Wind City Church. You guys sow seeds. And Jesus said, look, you just need to know, guys, that your role is to be part of the Father's harvest. Your role is to be in the field and working. It's His harvest. It's His field. It doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the Father. But your role is to be in it. Your role is to sow seeds. Sometimes your role is to be part of the harvest. You know that Billy Graham used to say that it takes 40 touches with the gospel on average, 40 touches with the gospel in North America for someone to put their faith in Jesus. Okay? Some perspective on that is, you know, person number one of 40 thinks they did nothing. Person number 40 thinks they did everything. Right? Person number one thinks, man, I shared, but I fumbled. I stumbled over it. I just didn't say the right thing. You know, they didn't give their heart to Jesus. I would have loved to share with you that on that field, as I spoke with Tiana and talked with her about the love of God, and if we choose Him, He makes Himself available to us. I would love to share with you that she gave her heart to Christ right there on that field amongst the bouncy house and the cotton candy and the snow cone machine. No, she didn't. Person number one thinks they did nothing. Person number 40 thinks they did everything. But what's happening here is Jesus is helping us with role clarification. You see, it's our role to be workers. It's our role to be faithful, to say, there is a God who's created you, who loves you. He sent His Son that died for you and for me. And He is the only way to a right relationship with God. Our role is to work, to serve, to share. God's role is to change a heart. Only He can do that. Only He can share. Only He can change someone from the inside out. Pastor Leon talked with us about we need to take this seriously, the assignment that we've been given to follow after Jesus. So what does it matter? I'm telling you, Boyd Avenue Baptist Church, it matters to Bailey and Jackson that you are faithful to go and share. It matters to the people of Casper, Wyoming. It matters to the people and children of Haiti that you go and share. We are honored to be here. The folks from North Carolina and Alabama are honored to be here this week to be a part of helping construct this building right across the street. And we know that just like Jesus said, that it's not about the building. It's not about the place that everything happens, although important to have a space. Especially, you know, it gets cold in Canada. I understand. Does it get cold here? It gets cold here. It's nice to have a place to be inside, isn't it? Yes. Thank you. It is. It's so nice to have a place inside. So guys, it's important to have structures like the one across the street. And you guys know as well as I do, the most important thing is what happens inside that structure. The seeds that are planted inside that structure. The people that God wants to change from the inside out because you invited them in. You sowed seeds of the gospel and God changed their heart. So we are honored to be here to join with you in that kingdom work. Because we can help for a week, but we know you guys are here the other 358 days of the year. You're on assignment here. And we want to challenge you to continue to sow. And it doesn't matter what our role is. It doesn't matter if we sow or we reap. It matters that we're faithful. Continue to be faithful. God bless you.